Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's OMF on EEI.
All right, back here on the Friday edition of OMF, we're pushing Alex Cora back. Well, he's pushing us back to 3:30, so we'll hear from Alex coming up at 3:30. So to the phones we go at 617-779-7937. Here's Eddie first up today. Hello, Eddie.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good, Eddie.
Listening, guys, every day. Hey, listen, I got a comment about the three teams. Celtics, I grew up in the Bird era, so these guys, this team's gross. Bruins, the Islanders just own them.
Yep.
And what I wanted to say about the baseball was, like Glenn said on the ship, just bunt. I've been saying it for years. I don't know why that's not. Is it ethically wrong in baseball to drop a bunt down
unwritten
the line?
Unwritten rules there.
Yeah, I was left-handed batter my whole life. Used to drag bunt all the time, right up through Legion. But, all right, you guys are awesome. All right.
Thank you, Eddie, and thanks for sharing your career with us. We appreciate that.
Well, I would say if you are a I don't think anybody would shift on Kenny Lofton, you know, or Omar Vizquel, because they would be able to put a bunt down.
Yes.
But Jim Thome? I'm going to shift. And if Thome wants to put a bunt down, God bless you.
Still,
where are you going? You're not going to go first to third. You're not going to score in a single. Like, what? Where are you going? You didn't hit the ball at the ballpark. I win.
Yeah, no, I hear what you're saying. And even the stuff with David Ortiz, because what does David Ortiz bring to the table that is the most important? And that is he hits it out of the ballpark.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, closes out games. But more of it, I almost think it became so frustrating with him that it drove him crazy, and it certainly took, would you say, 30 points off his batting average, maybe
I know.
More?
Well, yeah. He still hit 300.
Yeah, which is amazing. Here's Rich in Sarasota next up. Hi, Rich.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
What's up?
Hey, Lou, question for you. So I agree with Sale on eliminating the shift. I think that would be great for baseball. How would you regulate that? Would you draw a line behind second base, the outfield grass, and say you got to have two on the right, two on the left, before the pitch or before the pitcher comes set? Would you draw circles where the guys have to stand in?
It'd have to be a call from the umpire, because he's looking beyond the pitcher, and nobody can cross second base. Shortstop, when a lefty's up, can't cross second base, go towards second, and the second baseman can't cross second base against the right-handed hitter. And he'd have to call it.
Say there was like a set kick play to pick off somebody at second base, and the second baseman comes over, and he's at second base, so he'd kind of be across that line or whatever, and then the pitcher decides to throw the ball. I feel like it would be so difficult to regulate.
You know what else it would do? Yeah. It would slow the game down
just
more.
Just what baseball needs.
Okay, so you're telling me, okay, because I'm with him, I'm like, okay, put some lines, we'll put some sidelines in there right in the middle, right from home plate all the way to center field.
On the lines.
Yeah, you can't go over this area right here.
I think an umpire can kind of be a little bit casual about it, right? You sit there and you watch it and you see
bogeys. Whistle?
No, like, right over the bag. And if he starts sliding over towards second by a step or two, you know, inning's over, kind of walks out to the second base umpire, because it's a second base umpire. He's just not, he's in front of bogey.
But
and
he's like,
hey,
mark,
just let him know. I mean, you know, if he slides over there too much, you know, I'm gonna call timeout or whatever and move him back. Like, we don't want to stop the game, but you're just trying to prevent the shortstop from playing second base, like where the second baseman plays, right? And the second baseman out in right field. So the home plate umpire looks right at the pitcher and looks right at that second base. And if he sees a guy four or five steps over, time, let's go, get your ass back on the other side of the bag. And hopefully guys wouldn't do that because they'd slow the game down.
But you're still putting down lines.
And how are you going to penalize somebody if they end up – so before the pitch, they're just hanging out where they should be. And then when they and then they kind of cheat over while he's in his windup, and then they benefit from that. You know what I mean? So then how you penalize them? I just feel like it's just
delay a game, fines, take the money out of their pocket.
Listen, they still haven't fined anybody for chewing tobacco in the dugout. I mean, come on, nobody's getting fined.
If you say they can't get past second base, you will not have a guy 10 steps on the other side of the bag. Will you have the guy 2 steps occasionally, maybe on the pitch, shifting over, moving a little bit in the pitch, maybe. But you'll be able to regulate it. You're just trying to get away from the shortstop playing where the second base is. And the second baseman in right field, for Christ's sakes. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, you can wear dog collars, and every time they flirt over there, you can buzz them.
There you go. They're wearing those things now anyways, right? In case they get close to each other.
Exactly. But it's crazy to think about
contact
it.
Contact tracing bands.
We're regulating where a defensive player can be on the field. I mean, imagine if we did this in football. We said, you can only be here, you know, so far.
Because why can't you use the NBA offense as an example? Right. I mean, the NBA is an example of them, you know, calling illegal defense. But they've done it.
There are things you can do. You can have only 2 guys on each side of second, and you can not let an infielder play on the outfield grass. Period. You got to stay in the dirt. Can't play in the grass. No more short right fielders. Right? Can't do it.
Bloop singles back.
So
yep, that would bring that back. There's no question about it. So Lou has already said this. He is optimistic about the Red Sox. Have you given a win total yet? Have you done that? Have you gone that far?
No. I need some more time. I need
some
help.
That's good. You got a few weeks.
You did go over the 79.5, though, right?
I would go over 79.5 now.
Okay.
Yes.
And that's where Vegas has it.
Of course. Erod blows out in camp. Avaldi blows out in camp. We'll adjust. But
he's a workhorse.
Oh, what could happen to Avaldi? That's right. I mean, Jim Rich already told you.
He's a workhorse. NyQuil.
He's like Clemens.
So we've gone through a period of 20 years where every one of these teams just sitting there going, oh, who's going to win next? Who's going to win next?
This team's gross.
And so now we're in a position where we're looking at our teams, and are we not concerned? I mean, a lot of people thought that the Celtics were on the cusp of really being in that championship contending realm. Anybody feeling that way today after what you see in the last few weeks and where you look at what they've got for assets to go get some? So we throw out the question, which Boston fan base should be the most concerned about his future? And we're talking about the next 3 or 4 years. We're not talking about this year. We're talking about the next 3 or 4 years.
Let me throw this out there.
Go ahead.
Based on, okay, so just the Celtics. I'm going to start with the Celtics because would you say it's more likely for this team to be blown up or for them to actually reach the finals and win a championship? What's more likely to happen with
them? I'll go with blowed up, Alex, for 50.
Yeah, because when you think about where they were a couple years ago and the amount of talent that they had collected, I mean, he really did do his job. Like, everything that Danny Ainge wanted to do, he did. He accumulated a lot of talent.
Yeah, but then paired with
My point is, think about how tough it was for him to be able to pull that off. He had to trade Garnett. He had to trade Pierce. He had to get a bunch of assets. Then when he got the assets, he had to make sure he picked the right guys. Anybody remember Markel Fultz?
Yeah.
Okay, how they avoided that guy? So he hit. So everything worked out great. And then you know, Gordon Hayward gets hurt. Al Horford's too old. Kyrie Irving is an issue. I mean, and then so all that talent that you had accumulated with the right amount of young, good talent. Imagine if you had, you know, Tatum and Brown as Pritchard and Naismith with some veteran leadership. That's the perfect mix. The odds of them pulling that off and doing that again, no way they're doing it. So I'm the team that you may think is the closest to it, I think in reality is the farthest.
Well, I think 4 weeks ago, a lot of people thought they were the closest. Okay, we did. They were playing well. What, 6 weeks ago, 8 weeks ago, whatever. I think when we started talking about which team had the best chance to win, there were a lot of people that were saying the Celtics. The one team I would tell you, just based on the system of each one of these sports, that I think the future this year, I'm not as optimistic as Lou is about the upcoming Red Sox season, but I would say over the next 3 or 4 seasons, because they have money, they have more money than most teams in Major League Baseball, they have that revenue, and they're at least somewhat competent. I know people question that, but I think they're fairly competent. I think they're a team that's going to come back. So the system allows them because there's no cap. And, well, and contrary just, and, to what people well, think, they will spend money.
Yeah, I agree. So you talk about fan base concern level. And to your point, like, this is sort of like the rebuild is starting here in Boston. And then, boom, you're going to spend about $60 million, you know, on two guys in a year or two. And next thing you know, you're going to be right there. So there's not a big concern level there. I don't have a big concern level with the Bruins until the third period last night. That concerned me a little bit.
They only gave up five goals.
Yeah, I was like, God, I'm like, they just turned into the Celtics in the third quarter. I mean, the third period.
Inspiration.
Rather. But, I mean, still, it's like I'm not really concerned by them. And they say, oh, window. Well, Chara's gone. Okay, you got some youth in the defensemen. You know, I don't think Bergeron's going to play forever, but I don't think this is his last year either.
But you're close to the end with him and Krejci.
Patriots,
and,
you're concerned about finding a quarterback.
And your goaltender.
Yeah, and it's weird, though, because the Celtics are the closest team. At least we thought that a month ago. But you might start getting concerned just because of what could possibly be down the road here in 2 or 3 years, right? I mean, again, I hate the fact that I feel like he's wasting a year here with these two kids right now. But these years kind of can go very fast. Next year, there could be a major injury that could have just down, you know, makes next year look bad as well. And then you start getting to the area of one of these two kids maybe have to go, or one of these two kids maybe want to go, or maybe both of them want out because they don't like what's being developed here in Boston. So as much as you think they have the best chance to win here close, it's like, yeah, there's a lot of concern because there's a lot at risk of what could happen the next 2 or 3 years. I think it's the Celtics.
No, I think it's the Celtics, too.
Yeah, I agree.
When I start writing the names, so I do the same thing with the Patriots. I just start looking, or hell, you know, do it for Tampa. When you try to figure out what does a championship roster look like in the NFL, you saw it with Tampa. You saw it with Kansas City the year before that. You saw it for the Patriots. Again, you have an example. What does a championship team look like in Major League Baseball? Hell, we saw it with the Dodgers. We saw it with the Red Sox. Like, loaded with talent. Like, no holes. Like, high-level guys used to dealing with crazy circumstances. They're not affected by it. Basketball? Look at the Lakers. Look at Toronto. Look at the Nets right now. That ain't you, Celtics fans. You're not even close. You were close to it a couple years ago. You really were. Like, it's really a shame that they weren't able to capitalize on it. I do. When you think about Kyrie. Wait, what do you mean? You don't think they were close with Kyrie Irving?
To a championship?
No. Gordon Hayward. Al Horford, Marcus Smart, bunch of young players who could come off the bench. I mean, Marcus Morris. Yeah, I think you were. I think you really were.
No, because you didn't have that superstar. You didn't have it.
You had. You didn't have what are you talking? I think you're out of your mind. I think I just listed them, Glenn. Listed off your superstars.
Yeah, Marcus Morris, not a superstar in my book.
Marcus Morris, yeah. Use the guy that I mentioned last. Use the guy I mentioned last. Yeah.
I don't think, what a lame comeback.
That is a lame comeback by you.
I think they're
so
a team,
stupid.
I think they're a team that has been building, but they still lack those two big stars. Now, if they could have gotten that second guy along with Kyrie Irving, then they would have been there. If they got Anthony Davis with all of those other names you mentioned, then you're there. You're on the doorstep. They have not been able to do that. Now they've got a 22 and 23-year-old young players that I think are probably going to be great when they're 27 to 28. But you're going to it goes beyond our 3 or 4 years here, and you need some other personnel.
No. You were close to it. You had a championship team. You never really got to fully realize it because Hayward got hurt in the first freaking game, or like the first 5 minutes, and that was it. That was it, and you're far away because it's so hard to get that type of talent. And the NFL, I would say the Patriots are right there with them. The Patriots are right there with them.
Patriots are in a much better situation, I think. And I don't
Based
think they're going
to
win.
Is Deshaun Watson coming to play for the Patriots?
No, I don't think they're going to win in the next couple, 2 or 3 years to be a championship-level team. But we're talking 3 to 4 years, the way the NFL works. I think if they find that quarterback, I have confidence that Belichick can build a roster that can be good.
Teams spend how many years finding that quarterback?
Yeah,
He's just giving it to him.
The Bears have been searching for 100 years. Literally, the Bears have been searching for a franchise quarterback for 100 years.
They had Jim McMahon.
100 years.
Listen, they're due. Who are we talking about?
100 years.
Well, you got to find at least
Jay Cutler's the best one I've ever had.
Oh my God, is that's amazing?
Oh, that is
Jay
beautiful.
Cutler's the best guy they had.
Pats are right there with him.
617-779-7937. Because nothing is really great right now with any one of these teams. I would say the Bruins right now probably is the best. And I don't know what the hell their problem is with the Islanders. Dale had a theory today that it's a Barry Trotz problem, dating back to the Washington Capitals when he was coaching there. I don't know. Does an NHL coach have that much control over the game? Maybe he's right. I don't know. So we throw the question out to you. Which one of the fan bases right now should be the most concerned about their future? Celtics, Bruins, Patriots, Red Sox, Alex Cora coming up at 3:30.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Follow him on Twitter at Christian Fourier.
I heard you hate old people and puppies. No, just puppies. Hate puppies.
It's OMF on WEEI.
Hey, Bruce, just your thoughts on the puck management there in the third and some of the decisions that were made. And
well, there wasn't any, so that's a problem. I don't usually see that with our club. Decision making, obviously, guy. Listen, we got some young players in the lineup, so we're going to live with certain mistakes. But I think Charlie pressed a little there in the third.
That is Bruce Cassidy talking about last night's loss. 5 goals in the third period. They can't beat their 0-3 right against the Islanders.
Well, there wasn't any, so.
And Frederick gave up the puck on what was the third goal that kind of started the whole thing.
When it comes to post game sound, manager, coach, whatever sound, as far as who do you think is the most just honest and forthright with because I feel like Bill's like the worst. As far as what he'll give you and is about as real as he can get. He's so guarded. But then Brad's really good, I feel like. I feel like Alex is pretty good. And even,
Cassidy's good.
I think Cassidy's good, too. I don't know who the Revolution's coach is. I don't know, but I'm sure he's probably good also.
he's very good.
But I heard he's great. Yep, he is great. But I'm telling you what, like, they're all pretty honest and just pretty good at it. It's just amazing.
Well, compared to
whenever
Bill.
I hear it, I go, man, of all the luck, you got four major sports in this town, and Bill's the toughest one to talk to.
Is Bill still in the coffee shop there at the airport down in West Palm? No? Do we know that yet?
When you take that picture of Bill Belichick, does he kind of hear it and see you, kind of feel you right there, look at you, and do what? Give you a death stare? What does he do? Ah, oh, come on! You know, you heard I'm really rough. You know, I'm pretty mean to my players. You know, you don't want to mess with me.
So one of those guys that is pretty open about talking about stuff, Alex Gore, hopefully will join us in 10 minutes here. In the meantime, is Dan in Needham. Hello, Dan.
Hi, guys. 1 second on the shift and then the teams. As far as the shift goes, I mean, if you have a tie score in the ninth inning, bases loaded, are you going to tell a manager he can't bring the infield in? It's the same thing. It's been going on for, 1850. You can bring the infield in. It's the same thing.
No, not
really. Moving on, I don't like the shift. I don't like the shift. Moving on to teams, I think it's one thing to isolate them, but you also have to look at who else is in the division. And, you know, I think the Red Sox would have the hardest jump. Toronto just reloaded. The Yankees and Tampa, you know, in the World Series last year, always finds a way to win. I don't think the other teams in Boston have to jump over the same division. Patriots have the Bills in front of them. And I think that makes it hard for the Red Sox, considering the competition each team has.
So I would agree with you that that plays into the equation. But to me, the biggest riding factor in this list is, what does the sport allow you to do? And so the Celtics are limited. They would love to get another big superstar. They can't, because there's a cap restrictions. The Bruins have cap restrictions. The Patriots have cap restrictions. The one reason I think the Patriots are one of those teams that are going to be better in the next couple of years is because they've got so much money under the cap restraints. The Red Sox don't. And yeah. So you're playing against a lot of small market teams that don't have the revenue to match up and go and get players out there. The Red Sox, if things are going real bad and people aren't showing up at the ballpark, can simply spend money because they're creating a revenue stream. Yeah, much bigger than most teams.
It's the same.
If you look at a guy like Corey Kluber, he didn't have a ton of money, and you know there wasn't a ton of money to get him, and he chose the Yankees over the Red Sox. So there has to be something else about being attractive to come here beside money.
Well, his trainer, I believe, works for the Yankees too. But yeah, the Yankees are the guys that can spend with them. Toronto, I mean, there's a reason why I think when the odds to make the playoffs, the Red Sox are right there with Toronto, because it's simple. You've overrated them.
Overrated Toronto.
Yeah. I mean, they have a lot of young, great players, right?
Yep. And they made moves in the offseason.
They did. Active. They're all position players, right?
Yes.
All right, name their rotation. I'll be over here waiting.
I'm not sure I know their rotation.
Martinez.
exactly.
I can't remember the rest.
Ryu, the lefty that was out in L.A.?
He was pretty good.
Rob
Ray, the guy that had a 6 ERA the last 2 years, he's the number 2.
Quick question for you guys. If it's so easy for a big market team like the Boston Red Sox in a sport like baseball to spend a lot of money and win, why have the small market Tampa Bay Rays had a better record than the Red Sox in 8 of the last 13 seasons?
Because they're one of the best organizations, if not the best in all of baseball.
So then why is the point that the big market team is set up to win when it hasn't really shown on the
field? Well, how many championships have the Tampa Bay Rays won?
You're able to do both.
You're able to get close, and you can stay in the hunt. But to win the whole thing, they can't do it.
There's two parts of the organization.
Or you pull your pitcher out way too early.
No, I mean, you do what the Rays do. You do what Oakland does. It's just that now, after making great moves on minor league players and developing and making trades and bringing guys and getting the most out of them and amazing trades and evaluating, the difference is now you're like the Dodgers. Now you can go out there and when you're ready, sign a Mookie Betts, sign a Trevor Bauer, put yourself over the top. Those teams can't do that. That's that last step they can't do. You can. Right. So you need to first figure out how the hell they do that first part, which is where Chaim Bloom is right now. And you know, now once you build and get players, then you go out and spend. Those two teams can't do that.
See, I think that's one reason why the Red Sox haven't gone out and gotten those players in this offseason. First of all, it's been a strange offseason. Second of all, they need to build that aspect of it. So if you can combine, and Lou's right, and you've got Friedman out there in L.A. who ran the operation for how many years in Tampa Bay? He basically was the guy that founded most of that stuff down there. So you build a great organization, and unfortunately in Tampa Bay, they don't have the money to go and get that guy that's going to put them over the top. The Dodgers now are building a Tampa Bay organization, and they're also spending the money to get that one or two players that are going to take you over the top. That's what the Red Sox, I think that's their plan, to become the Dodgers, because they haven't been. I mean, they go one extreme or the other. They build up players in the organization, and then they bring in a general manager like Dave Dombrowski and say, deal them all away and get some guys for us right now. We want to win right now.
I don't think that guy doesn't realize that bringing the infield in on the grass isn't a shift. Like, I don't know. I'm talking about not letting them play in the outfield grass. You can play in the infield grass all you want. Not the outfield grass. Big difference.
Disturbed you, didn't it, that whole thing?
It's just, you know.
By the way, which fan base should be most concerned excuse me, about its future? Here's the list.
Revolution.
Right now on the poll. On the coffee's going down.
Are you okay?
Are you all right over there, buddy? Hey, drink some water.
I'm fine. OMF on WEEI. I drink some whiskey right now. Patriots, 50.4%. It's okay, Greg. Don't worry about it. Celtics, 23%. Red Sox, 22%. And the Bruins, 4.6%. So the team they're most concerned about in its future is the Patriots.
Not a surprise. It's also the most popular team.
Well, you're most concerned about. It's the topic. I mean, what are you going to do with quarterback?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So yeah, that's not a surprise at all.
Because I think people could probably look at the Celtics and see what it is. I guess we're playing radio chicken here.
Yeah, but I think
biggest surprise is that the Celtics are second. Like, to me, that's the biggest surprise. Actually, yeah, they're second. Red Sox are third. So but you've ran a poll like who's got the best chance to win a championship next.
3 to 4 years.
Weeks ago, it was the Celtics easy.
It was the number one.
Now all of a sudden they're number two most concerned.
Isn't that amazing? But I think it is exactly what you're seeing right now. And they're doing the same thing with the Patriots, all right, with this poll. So we're talking 3 to 4 years. Bringing it out 3 to 4 years. And in 3 to 4 years, I'm not sure.
I think you're. I do think you're really optimistic about the Patriots and their ability to kind of, sure, making the playoffs is one thing. Being a Super Bowl caliber team is a whole nother level. It's a whole nother level.
You're setting the bar for like the Celtics to win a championship, but the Patriots is just to make the playoffs. Like the Celtics will make the playoffs if that's the bar.
20 teams.
Can they be a top four team in the East? Sure, they can do that for a while, but that's not what we're talking about. So you can't set that bar for the Patriots saying, well, they could be a playoff team. I'm not worried about them.
Are we sure the Celtics are going to make the playoffs? The Knicks won last night, by the way. They are now behind the Knicks in the standings. Getting ugly. All right, 617-779-7937. We hope to have Alex Cora joining us coming up next right here on OMF.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
OMF on EEI.
Here comes Cora.
Alex Cora.
We score 16 at Yankee Stadium. Suck on it.
Take your bow, Alex. You deserve it and then some.
Alex Cora on OMF.
Thank you very much. Enjoy.
It's going to be fun.
All right, back here in OMF, and we welcome back to the program on the Harbor One Hotline, the manager of the Boston Red Sox, Alex Cora. Alex, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
Hey, we're doing good.
We're doing as well as we possibly can do.
I'm doing all right.
We're all doing impressions.
Basketball, talking baseball. I bet there's a lot going on over there.
Oh, yeah. You want to hear Fourier's impression of you?
No, he doesn't need to hear it right
there. You're ready to pump me. It's really good. It's really good.
Go ahead.
I don't know, man.
Sounds like that's an exaggeration.
No, man. Come on.
Sounds like a sick dog right there. I want to get your personal feelings, because when you look back at everything that's happened, I'm sure you probably thought at times you'd never be back in baseball, probably never thought you'd be back with the Red Sox. What's it been like the last 2 weeks being back in baseball, back with the organization, and back with those guys?
It's been great. Like I said, the first day was a good day for the organization, obviously, having all the guys together. But in a personal note, it was outstanding. We got a group chat, family group chat, and I text them at 5:30 in the morning Eastern time. I say, a trabajar, going to work. And I think that was amazing, you know, just a response from my mom, my sisters, my daughter, everybody, you know, even Joey, you know, although he doesn't call me. He's like 2 hours from here. He never calls me, man. Really? What a bad brother.
Yeah, man.
Communication is not working there. But honestly, it's been awesome. Like I said earlier today, days like today, you know, you plan for everything that is going on, and it happens, and you see that it's going to take us to where we want to go. It's fun. And I never take this game for granted. Since I was a little kid, you know, I did everything possible to enjoy it. And, you know, I'm making sure I have a blast every day too. You know, it was a long year, but here we are. You know, we're having a blast. We're doing a good job as a team. We have a great, there's a lot of talent around here, and it's fun to watch.
So, I mean, obviously probably feels like a rookie again, you know, maybe in some semblance, right?
It doesn't feel, it feels like a rookie, but I'm not moving like a rookie.
No, your body hurts too much to be a rookie.
Everything hurts. When I get home at night, everything hurts.
So when you're, obviously I'm assuming you probably watched a ton of baseball because, I mean, what else are you going to do, Alex, right? So it was, and now while you're watching all those games, were you able to kind of pick up anything, any different philosophies, like anything that you saw that other teams were doing that maybe that you could benefit from, maybe you can implement into your own system, you know, and anything to that respect as far as just watching baseball so much, almost like an analyst?
almost. Actually, there were a few phone calls for that, but I didn't want to. defense, man. Defense matters. Defense matters. Good defensive teams, they have a shot day in and day out. And I saw it with the Dodgers, the Rays, the Indians. And it seems like those teams were one step ahead. I call it playing fast. Offensively, you know, good athletic teams, you know, they have the edge. And you look at the Padres, what they did last year and where they at right now. And you know, it's not that we were one step behind in 19. Maybe, you know, we became one-dimensional. I don't know if it was because of the scores early on. We had to slow the pace down compared to 18. But last year, watching the Red Sox, it felt like the team was a step behind in every aspect. And you have to keep up with the speed of the game. Yeah, we live in an era that strikeouts, walks, and, you know, true outcomes, like they say, right? And home runs are going to rule the offense, but there's other ways to score to score runs, and good base running, good defense helps prevent obviously the opposition from scoring. So that's something that we've been preaching since November, and we've been actually working on it the last few days.
Hey, with that said, Alex, like both of us, you know, utility guys move around, and I think you kind of feel like if you stayed at one spot, you'd maybe be a better defender. You got a lot of guys moving around on a given night. You think, will that hurt your defense if a guy's playing second or center or left and first and second and first? Like, that's really difficult, isn't it, to kind of keep up that game?
If you talk to the two guys that we're going to, you know, do that with, it doesn't matter to them. Enrique whatever position you put him, he's above average. Actually, defensively at second base, he was, you know, the best defensive second baseman 2 years ago, and he was, you know, outstanding last year. He's a solid shortstop. In the outfield, he's above average in all the outfields, you know, and Marwin the same thing too, you know. Yeah. So it really doesn't matter. I think we're gonna be stronger defensively than we were last year. Probably a little bit stronger than 19, and that's hard to believe, right? But you know, those guys, they're gonna give us the freedom to match up with anybody pitching wise, and we're gonna have a good solid foundation defensively every night.
Hey, when a pitcher misses an entire year, it's because of some kind of injury, and you want to be careful in camp, you want to be careful in April. But with Erod, it wasn't really physical as far as like shoulder, elbow, or anything, right? So how do you approach that? Do you say he's been out of the game for a year, we have to be careful? Or do you say no wear and tear, he's actually strong, and we can kind of ride him a little bit?
I mean, it seems like probably he's the first case of this, right? Like, right. I mean, unless you got suspended, right, or something like that you didn't pitch. But we don't know a lot about how we're going to – I mean, we do know, but we don't know what can happen. They only play 60 games. Eduardo doesn't play. So far, so good. He actually – he's throwing two innings tomorrow in a simulated game. So his progression is great. And I think he's going to let us know a lot how we're going to handle him. There's more stuff going on now. There's more information. Actually, they, you know, like the soccer players, you know, they have this GPS, you know, for how their effort level during the day. We have that going now. I mean, Louis, there's a lot of information now. It's not like, you know, the show and go back in the day. I mean, we're going to know exactly what we need to do with him. But as of right now, you know, he's a full go, and we're gonna push him hard and see where he takes us.
We're talking to Alex Cora from Florida. So last year it was a lot of pitchers auditioning night in and night out, and half the time you had no understanding, at least the fan base, of who these guys were. You've got some guys in here that are a little bit more interesting. How do you see this pitching staff? How much better this pitching staff can be?
It's better, and we're deeper, actually, than in 19, which is very important. I think in 18, we started hurt, and what BJ and Hector did early was amazing, and then you get your horses throughout the race, and we took off, right? But in 19, it was the other way around. Our horses got hurt, and we were, you know, BJ wasn't the BJ of 18, Hector was hurt, and we weren't deep enough, you know, and that's what happened. Then last year happened, and this year you got a lot of guys. I mean, we got, I do believe we had 7, maybe 8 capable starters in the bullpen. You know, what we have in the minor leagues, we have guys that we can go and they can contribute. So we're in a better spot, and that's what it's all about. This is not about your 5 starters and the closer. It's a complete pitching staff, and I got a feeling that, you know, as far as versatility, Andres is going to help us out a lot. You know, now you got Sawamura, who's actually flying in tomorrow. I'll give you that one. Nice. He'll be here tomorrow, and then he got to go through protocols and all that. But we got some guys that can give us more than 3 outs, which is very important, especially where we're coming from last year. So it's going to be interesting. We're in a good situation.
So, you know, our former guest that we used to have all the time, Chris Sale, former friend of the show. I don't think he is anymore. He goes on the morning show now.
Former?
Yeah, he goes on the morning show now. He's left us for another show.
I was thinking about that, man, since the managers start talking in this show, hasn't been positive. You know, last year, Ron, in 19, it was me. The second half of 18 wasn't great. I don't know. Maybe
The second half of 18 was great.
You won a World Series.
Yeah, you won. I mean,
that's true. That's true.
You remember the whole suck it thing? You know? So you won the World Series, man.
Forgot about that already.
I just thought about that. I just thought about that one yesterday. I said, I gotta get that one out there. You know, I'm getting used to you guys again. You know, I gotta get used to you guys.
Yeah, it's like learning to dance together. But he was funny because they asked him about you know, one of the things that he would change. And as a pitcher, it was odd to hear him say the shift. Like, it's almost like he's a purist, like a baseball purist, and he doesn't really like the shift. Like, what's your thoughts on that?
I don't think the shift, I mean, it doesn't, with him, it really doesn't matter, right? He punches people out.
Yeah, that's why I said he doesn't mind it.
Contact. But he's actually kind of like, you know, watching from afar. I don't know. I think it's part of the game. I think the biggest problem with the shift is that in youth baseball, they're not teaching the guys to use the whole field. You know, like in youth baseball, you start playing a little bit, then you go to showcases, and what you want to do in those showcases, hit it far. You know, like it doesn't matter. Going the other way, it doesn't matter. As if you hit it far, they're going to see you. You're going to get people are going to get interest, show interest in you, and then you get a scholarship or you get signed. So I think the shift will be part of the game. I think right now, the things that I liked about rule changes, if you want to talk about that, I really. Well, let's see as a manager, but, you know, the whole, like, extra inning rule, that was cool. Seven-inning games were good last year as a baseball fan, you know, seven innings. I think the pace was amazing. So, I don't know. I got some good ideas to help, you know, the game to speed up, you know. But I'm managing, so I can't do it anymore.
Hey, Alex, I want to ask you about the kid, Jaren Duran. I know a lot of people up here kind of, you know, they pay attention to this kid. And I know he played winter ball with Vasquez, Ramon Vasquez, your boy that's one of your coaches. I thought he said the other day that maybe you, did you pop in and kind of, did you get your eyes on this kid? And what can you tell us about him?
Yeah, I mean, because of COVID, obviously no fans, and you have to, you know, be careful going to the games. I actually went to one game the whole season, but I went to see him take BP on a Sunday. This kid, you know, the good thing about, he's a great athlete, first of all. Great athlete. Very physical. A stronger version of Jacoby. Pretty similar to Grady Sizemore, physically.
Yep.
I mean, he flies, man, and he's been working on his swing, you know, and he got some pop, but at the same time, he understands that he can go the other way and he can create havoc. Running the bases. You know, he has great instincts. He struggled a little bit in Puerto Rico, which is great. I think, you know, that's part of the process, right? And then he took off towards the end in the finals. He played good in the Caribbean Series. This is a guy that he's going to be a good baseball player. I mean, he good instincts, good kid. He's a baseball rat. You know, all he does is hit in the cage, shack in the outfield, and lift, you know. So looking forward to seeing him in spring training. Actually, I think he's actually starting on Sunday, if I'm not mistaken. So just giving him a lot of at-bats, you know, so he can keep competing and making better. That's the goal of us in spring training.
Alex, I don't think anybody was more affected last season with the COVID season than J.D. Martinez. I mean, he batted .213 for the season. He just didn't look like the same hitter. He didn't have the addition of the video that he had in the past, and I thought maybe that was a factor, but I was kind of surprised the other day that he came out and basically said he wasn't well prepared for the season and he's doing it differently this year. What have those conversations been like with you and JD Martinez? Because I expected that you would expect he's going to hit over .213 this year, right?
He is. He's upset at me because I said I'd bet $1 that he'll have a better season, and then I raised the bet to $5. He actually said, you should bet $1,000. And I'm like, okay, I'll do that, $1,000. But I don't know. I mean, he'll pay for it, but I trust this guy. And we had that workout 2 days ago, right, on Nesson, the night workout. And this is the first day I've seen him taking BP. And one thing for sure, the sound of the, you know, the way that the ball is sound of his bat on 2 days ago, very similar to 18. He's hitting, driving the ball to right field again. He hasn't stopped hitting. Yesterday we had live BP and he asked Tim Hires that he wanted to hit off the machine, and he starts hitting, and then you see Marwin and Kike and Rafi going over there, and you can see the confidence, you know. And this is not about pride or showing people how good he is. I think it's just a guy that understands that last year he wasn't ready, and he's in a better position this year. He's found a few things that he believes is going to help him out, and he's surrounded by a group that we trust this guy. I mean, for us to be good, to be solid, to be great, we need JD Martinez, and it's not pressuring him. He doesn't care about that. It's just about working his craft and being in the right position, and so far, so good.
Hey, Alex, so I thought this was a surprising move by Major League Baseball, how they decided to maybe they were sick of guys hitting home runs. They kind of changed the ball. So I guess in a way, so it wouldn't travel as far. One, your thoughts on that, and two, have you even noticed a difference?
Right now, we're not using those baseballs. We're going to start using that, I believe, right when the season starts. So we'll see how it plays out. One thing, watching the game from the couch last year, it seems like there were a lot of fly balls that just barely went out. And I do believe that's what they're trying to avoid, right? Like, if you hit it, you know, it's a homer, you know. But off the end of the bat, fly ball that goes out of the ballpark or jam shot that goes out of the ballpark, I think we're not going to see that. We're not going to see that, which I think is good. You know, I mean, obviously the guys loved it, you know, the hitters, you know, getting, you know, hitting fly balls. And, but I think it starts, you know, like is even now, probably. You see, if you make a mistake as a pitcher, you're going to pay for it. But I think they're trying to avoid those, you know, lazy fly balls that have been going out for a while now.
Hey, Alex, last one for me. I know, I was talking about your pitching staff, and I said, unlike last year, I think there's upside, right? I think there's guys, and last year, I don't know where it was, but two guys at the end of the year, Pivetta and Hauk, and I'm looking at your rotation, some of the names, the veterans, and I'm wondering if that's like that battle for that fifth spot, but both these guys threw their ass off last year. Is one of those things, like a guy like Hauk, you know, if Pivetta's throwing the ball well, this is a guy you can use for 2-3 innings out of the pen, or is that like rotation or down in AAA to get him ready, whoever loses that competition?
I do believe that the most important thing, you know, and you can talk about those two. I can add the other five, you know, and obviously, you know, there's certain guys that they're going to be locked in our rotation. But having those guys help, you know, having more than five guys, and like we started the interview talking about Eduardo. We don't know what can happen in the upcoming days, how he's going to react. Well, we know if that happens, somebody capable is going to pitch. And that's the key of our – that's been the key of our offseason, you know, adding players to our minor league system while we're getting better at the big league level. And it's been good. So, you know, here everybody's getting ready. We're going to stretch people out. Don't go by who's starting or what order. I think our guys that can start, they're going to be throwing two innings right away this week. And then next week they're going to throw three. So we'll see how it plays out. But honestly, you know, I do believe obviously we're in a better situation than last year. And we have a deeper roster, deeper pitching staff than what we had in 19.
So does that mean kind of like on occasion you could casually not lock yourself into it, but almost have like a six-man rotation once in a while? Just roll some guys out?
Yeah, we'll use six. You know, I mean, we got to protect people, you know, but like I said, we have to wait for the spring training to play out and see how the guys feel, and we'll make decisions when we have to.
Hey, one final question. I want to get your take on David Ortiz the other day, saying that the game of baseball has become boring. It's home run or strikeout. That's the game. All of the strategy has been taken away. You buy any of it?
I mean, that was his game, right? I mean, hit homers and strike out. Now, I mean, the game is what the game is, right? But I do believe that at the end, the game will come back to the value of putting the ball in play with two strikes. You know, people are going to start putting their A swings, but I think it's something that we have to do. You know, if you want to become elite at this game as a team, there's a value about putting the ball in play. If you look, you know, 18, 19, 20, everybody talks about the Dodgers this year, how they did it. And it's just a mentality. And you have to – it starts in spring training. And, yeah, it sometimes it was hard to watch last year. Long games, bad base running. That's you know, he talks about that base, about homers and strikeouts. Base running it was awful just watching. And you know, we still have to teach fundamentals in youth baseball. We still have to do a better job in college. So when these guys sign, they're in a better place, a better spot than, you know, where they at right now. And if we accomplish that, the game is going to get back to, catch the ball, run the bases, make contact, and a few home runs. That'll
Alex,
be perfect.
We're glad to have you back, and we're looking forward to having you all year long. Now, if you get a call from the station from another show and they try to pitch you something, just hang up on them. Just hang up on them. Ignore them entirely. Hey,
you guys are too much.
Hey, hang up on them.
Hey, and by the way.
You guys have a spy or something? I mean,
Hey, by the way, take it easy on my captain. The guy's almost 50 years old. He can't be catching bullpens. Hey, our eyes don't work like that anymore.
The captain got two more bullpens tomorrow. Jesus. Two more bullpens.
God, he must be sweating. Yeah. Must be
He's
sweating
awesome.
His ass
He's
off.
Awesome. Amazing. It can't be time. He's awesome. He's awesome.
Alex, we look forward
back. Talk to you guys.
All right, man.
We'll talk to you. That is Alex Kaur. See you later, Alex. Alex Kaur, who will be joining us again, hopefully every week. This hour of OMF has been brought to you by East Coast Metal Roofing. We might have an update on one of those Patriot receivers and whether he's coming back or not. We'll get to it coming up next.